Here on Cross Currents, we've featured ongoing coverage of San Francisco's housing crisis. We reported on the Ellis Act.
People should know what the Ellis Act is, that it's a myth that there's a protected class.
On squatters making use of abandoned homes.
And that's when they finally were just like, enough's enough, you're going to jail.
And we've been in the middle of protests from angry residents.
This city is changing into a place where families are not welcome, where elders are not welcome, where artists are not welcome, where workers are not welcome.
Come on now.
Sick.
Many stories are told from the renter's perspective, but today we're going to focus on some of the other people who figure into the issue. In our first story, we're going to hear from another essential part of the housing equation, the landlords. KALW's Liz Pfeffer brings us a bit of their perspective on today's expensive rental market.
When I first set out to do a story on San Francisco landlords, I realized that they're sort of hard to come by. Most of the city's population are renters, but I found one place where a lot of landlords gather, Fort Mason Center in the Presidio. This is where real estate attorney Daniel Bornstein coaches building owners and potential investors on the nuances of the rent ordinance. These are the rules that San Francisco landlords have to live by.
Thank you.
You want to make life easy for yourself? Only look for properties that were built after 1979. I don't care if it's a duplex, a triplex, a single-family home, a condominium unit. If the property certificate of occupancy was issued after what date? June. No rent control.
There are 60 people in the audience. A lot of them are senior citizens. Many are Asian. It's an even mix of men and women. They ask questions like, what are the rules for renting parking spaces to non-tenants? Can I evict a unit for my grandson to move into? And I know someone is illegally subletting. Help.
In San Francisco, owners who are doing it by themselves are the most vulnerable for having made mistakes and potentially being subject to significant litigation and liability expenses.
Bornstein says he offers these free talks as a public service to the community. He's been doing them for the last 15 years.
And we are going to be around for another 30 to 40 years, I hope.
They're really popular. Bornstein has a big presence on social media, and sometimes 200 people show up to hear him talk.
My goal is to educate people to be able to make good decisions about their real estate investments and also to ensure compliance with the law. Because oftentimes at the seminars I'm giving, it's the first time people are finally understanding the rules and regulations of the ordinance.
Like small property owner Rebecca Wang.
Yeah, he's great. He's like he said, he doesn't like to go to court and fight. He just wants to make sure your problem is solved and save your money, both side money too.
So I will work very hard and even overpay to do a buyout of a tenancy rather than do two no-fault evictions on the property.
There's a lot to take into consideration when making plans for your property. Landlords see the skyrocketing rents and don't think it's fair that their building is less valuable because it's occupied by long-term tenants.
I have people come into my office who feel victimized by regulations.
That's fueling a spike in owner move-ins and Ellis Act evictions in the city, the kind where landlords are allowed to get rid of all their tenants when they take their building off the rental market.
And that's unfortunate because I think in the end it terrorizes the community and puts the community in a position where compromise isn't the fundamental goal.
It makes sense then that most of the landlords I try to speak with are on edge. Nobody wants to say anything on air that could be used against them.
So I'm from KLW, and I'm here because I'm doing a story about what it's like to be a landlord in San Francisco. Are you a landlord?
Nothing. All I got was a leave me alone, or I'll talk to you off the record, but I won't tell you my name. Finally, though, somebody felt sorry for me.
My name is Terry Hurley, and I've lived in this city all my life, and my family has lived in this city all their life.
Hurley's 70. He's owned a three-unit building in the Haight for more than 40 years. He lives in one of the flats and rents out the others.
There was a period of time when I was just what you might call hippie landlord. People moved in. I let them move in. We had no written agreements or anything.
Everything worked out fine, he says, until rent control came along.
I got the tenant from hell.
And that's why he's here. This is the first time Hurley has ever wanted to evict a tenant, but he doesn't think the rent ordinance is on his side. And to him, that's an injustice.
For someone like me who puts so much into a building, these laws that are here now in this city treat me very poorly. And if I had a choice again, knowing that this was going to happen, that I would get stuck with people that I can't remove from a building, I wouldn't have done it.
This idea that you wouldn't want tenants in a city with some of the highest rents in the country is a little hard to believe, which made me think, do other landlords feel this way? I wasn't going to find out here, since no one else would talk to me, so I headed to the Sunset District to speak with Josephine Zhao, one of the most vocal advocates for landlords on that side of town.
So this is one of the bathrooms.
Zhao has a lot in common with Hurley. They both live in the buildings they own, and most of the rent they collect goes right back into them for mortgages and maintenance. But Zhao just got her place in 2008, and since then she's become quite the expert on the rent ordinance.
I'm a volunteer with the Small Property Owners of San Francisco to help the Chinese immigrant small property owners to navigate the complex minefield of San Francisco's property ownership policies.
Complex minefield. Okay, that sounds pretty intense. But to a lot of people who immigrate to San Francisco and buy property here, it's almost inconceivable how many restrictions are placed on them.
They thought this is more communist than the communist China they have been through. When they got here, it's totally upside down. They couldn't believe what situation they got themselves into.
Zhao can relate. She bought a small apartment building to be closer to UCSF Children's Hospital when one of her young daughters needed a kidney transplant. But her tenant smoked, and the smell made her daughter ill.
She got woken up in the middle of the night, coughing, head exploding, and, you know, heart racing.
Zhao felt powerless.
We have to deal with very stringent rent control law that has incredible pressure on us, not just mentally, financially, but, you know, our well-being.
That's the landlord's burden. Small property owners who live amongst their tenants can't just tell them what to do. And there are only a few legal ways to evict them. And she says you don't want to look like the bad guy for kicking out your tenants, even if it is legal. Zhao says activist groups will mark your sidewalk if you evict someone. She shows me photos of properties where this has happened.
Oh, I'm worried. If I do anything, they're going to mark me. But that's okay. If that's the way they want to go for it, then go for it. I'll be a martyr, you know? Come kill me, you know? Come take my property. And then that's going to just make the rest of the city going to be aware of the situation, right? So, like, what kind of treatment are we getting? We're not doing anything that's illegal or profit-driven, you know? We're not evil.
She says if her current tenants leave, she won't re-rent their units. Because Zhao doesn't want to be a landlord in a city that she thinks is unfair to small property owners. In San Francisco, I'm Liz Pfeffer for Cross Currents.